Decorated by the dress of Lord Damodara's increasing ecstasy, you are the lady of the house of Lord Hari in the groves of Vrindavan. From the ocean of Brishabhanu has arisen a new moon which is overwhelming the qualities of Lalita and Vishakha. O goddess, your qualities are described by Sanaka and Sanatan Rishis and by Sanatan Goswami. Please bestow your mercy upon me. Glories, glories to Sri Radharani, the beloved of Madhava and most worshipable of the cowherd girls of Gokula Mandala. Ananda Chinmaya Dasa Pratipavita Bhis.
Ananda Chinmaya Dasa Pratipavita Bhis.
Dhabhirya Eva Nijarupataya Kalabhi. Goloka Eva Nivasatya Kilatma Bhuto. Govinda Madi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami.
Govinda Madi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami.
I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, residing in his own realm, Goloka, with Sri Radharani, resembling his own spiritual figure, the embodiment of the ecstatic potency possessed of the 64 artistic activities. In the company of her confidantes, sakis, embodiments of the extension of her bodily form, permeated and vitalized by his ever-blissful spiritual ras. This beautiful sloka was spoken by Lord Brahma in his most mature state of realization of the absolute truth. He was given by the infinite mercy of Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar the wonderful vision of the supreme most of all the Vaikuntha planets, Sri Goloka Vrindavan Dham. Here he is explaining that in this realm of Goloka, everything that exists is Chintamani. It is spiritual, wish-fulfilling subject matter. And the primary function, in fact, the exclusive function of everything in this spiritual world is for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishna says in Gita, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Bhaktaram Jagatapasam, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Everything is his property and everything is meant for his enjoyment, both in the material worlds as well as in the spiritual worlds. Because Krishna is Rasaraj, he is the enjoyer of everything that exists. But in order for there to be supreme enjoyment, there must be a supreme enjoyed. Just like Srila Prabhupada was explaining in the class this morning, that when he gives a lecture, if no one comes, and he's sitting in the middle of the night in a dark room alone, there is not much pleasure in giving such a lecture. But when there are hundreds of attentive people sincerely drinking the nectar of the divine words emanating from his lotus mouth, then that reciprocation brings both parties great pleasure. And we also find in this world, we're all living entities who are mere infinitesimal parts and parcels of Krishna, how everyone is seeking pleasure in loving relationships. And of course, the topmost of loving relationships is the loving relationship between a male and a female, where there is an enjoyer and enjoyed. Where does this nature begin? It is described in the Shastras and explained by the great Acharyas that this nature, in its purest divine form, is within Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We as infinitesimal jivatmas have a limited power to enjoy. And therefore, we are seeking limited objects of enjoyment. But Krishna is unlimited. He is the supreme reservoir of all pleasure. He is infinite in his every aspect. He is Vibhu, inconceivable, unlimited. And therefore, he has an unlimited power to enjoy everything. Just as when the Brijbasis, during the Govardhan Puja, they prepared lakes of kheer and condensed milk and gulab jamuns, literal lakes of them, and huge mountains, thousands upon thousands of mountains of rotis and ladus and sabjis and pakoras and samosas and like that. And for us, we three or four and we are satiated. Five or six, and we are sick. Seven or eight, and we go to sleep. Because we are limited. But Krishna, with his arms, he appeared within the Govardhan Hill, and his arms stretched out, and within a matter of seconds, he ate everything. And then he was calling out, Anior, Anior, give me more, more, more. And the Brijvasis, there was nothing else. The entire stock of all of their food and milk and everything was offered. But he was calling out for more and more and more. And ultimately they offered him a tulsi leaf with great devotion. And he said, now I am satisfied. So Krishna has the power not only to eat mountains and mountains of bhoga, but he has the power to eat entire universes. In his Virat Rupa, Arjuna saw Krishna eating armies. He was eating everything, worlds and universes in the form of time. So we should understand that Krishna has unlimited power to enjoy. So how will he enjoy? Therefore, he expands himself by his own infinite, inconceivable spiritual potency. He divides himself, and that the power of what gives him pleasure from within himself expands into the supreme enjoyed. That one form, that one personality who can provide Krishna infinite, unlimited enjoyment. And that is Srimati Radharani. Sri Radhika Rani is the pleasure potency, the Hladini Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She is absolutely non-different from Krishna. They are one, but they become two for enjoyment, for pleasure, for exchanging unlimited ras or mellows of love. But the most wonderful thing is the power of Krishna's pleasure potency overwhelms Krishna himself. Although Krishna can enjoy unlimitedly, Radharani gives so much enjoyment to Krishna that he cannot assimilate and accept all of the love that she gives. Therefore, he's eternally expanding himself greater and greater and greater just to try to keep up with the power and the supply of love that Srimati Radharani is at all times offering to him. Krishna is called Madan Mohan because Cupid, Kamadev, who keeps everyone captivated by the bondage and the shackles of material existence, Kamadev himself is bewildered by the beauty of Krishna. But Srimati Radharani is known as Madan Mohan Mohini, which means she captures and bewilders even he who bewilders Cupid. She is Vrindavaneshwari. She is the goddess, the queen of Vrindavan. Because all of Vrindavan is an emanation of her potency, which is for Krishna's enjoyment. It is described that there are three potencies, primary potencies of the spiritual world, Parasya Saktira Vibhadaiva Shuyate. One is called Samvit, Sandini, and Ladini. Sandini is that potency which maintains and preserves the variegatedness of the spiritual world. Samvit is that potency which gives cognizance, which facilitates all the living beings within the spiritual world to recognize their relationships with Krishna. And Ladini Shakti, is that potency which mixes with all the other potencies so that to give ultimate pleasure and enjoyment to Krishna. And this Ladini Shakti, Swarup Damodar Goswami explains, is Srimati Radharani in personification. She is the source of all pleasure. And when the living entities within this material world want to enjoy this potency of Krishna for their own personal interests, then that Ladini Shakti transforms into the personality of Durga. Durga has a trident, and the trident has three spears which represent Ariatmaka, Aridaivaka, Aribhautaka, the miseries caused by one's own body and mind, the miseries caused by by other living beings, and miseries caused by natural disturbances or higher powers. And within this material world, as long as we want to lord it over what is the property of God, what is meant for His pleasure, we are inevitably and potentially being stabbed by the miseries of material existence by Durga Devi. But when we decide to live in harmony with the sweet will of Srimati Radharani, by assisting her in offering everything in creation to Krishna, then she appears before us into our life in her own personal divine form. We see the beautiful form of Sri Sri Radha Gopinathji. Radharani is offering a garland in her hands to Lord Gopinath. And what is our service? Just to be the servant of the servant of the servant, to make nice preparations so that Srimati Radharani can offer it to Krishna. In Vrindavan, no one wants to enjoy Krishna because they know that they cannot satisfy Krishna. Only Sri Radharani can satisfy Krishna. So Vrindavan is that place where everyone is simply the servant of the servant of the servant, assisting in Sri Radharani's loving exchanges with Lord Sri Krishna. And the power of her love is the supreme power of all powers. Greater than that of the goddess of fortune. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that Sri Radhika Rani, in her Vaibhava Vilas, she, by her partial expansion, she appears as Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune. And the queens of Dwarka are called Vaibhava Prakash. They are like reflections of Sri Radharani. But the Sakis and the confidential gopis of Braja are directly expansions of her original form. That's why Brahma Samhita explains, Lakshmi Sahasra Satasam Brahma Sevyamanam, that in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna is surrounded by hundreds and millions of Lakshmis. But every gopi of Vrindavan, who are of that category of the expansions of Sri Radhika, are millions of times superior in their power to give pleasure than Lakshmi of Vaikuntha. Why Srimati Radharani expands herself as Lalita, Vishaka, Chitra, Kutunga Vidya, and so many of the Sakis and Manjaris? Simply to give a greater variety of pleasure to Krishna. There's a beautiful story of how one time a breeze of wind came and it touched a corner of the cloth which was part of the dress of Sri Radhika Rani. And then that breeze touched the body of Shyam Sundar. And upon feeling that breeze, Krishna became intoxicated with divine joy. He was experiencing ultimate pleasure and happiness. And he began to extol that he had attained the supreme most fortune. Because that same breeze that touched Radharani's outer cloth had come and bestowed the ultimate opulence of fortune upon him. The nature of that love, Mahabhav, cannot be understood ever by anyone, even in the most perfected state of consciousness. But we can assist and be the humble servant of the servant of that exchange of love. And that is the one and only perfection that the followers of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu strive for in their lives. After Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura and Dwarka for many years, it is explained how the gopis headed by Sri Radharani, how they were severely inflicted by separation from Krishna. In fact, the dearmost friend of Lord Krishna, Uddhava, was sent by Krishna to give a message to the Brijvasis and especially to Sri Radharani and her gopi associates. Uddhava was actually considered by everyone in Mathura and later in Dwarka to be the most fortunate, because he was continuously at the side of Krishna. Practically day and night, they would eat together, they would joke together, they would lay down and rest together, they would play together. Whatever they did, they shared each other's lives. But when Uddhava went to that holy place of Uddhava Kyari, which is just between Barasana and Nandagaon, there he found the Braja Gopis simply laying in the ground, unable to function, their eyes just blinded with tears in feelings of separation from Lord Krishna. And Srimati Radharani, after hearing Uddhava's message, she happened to see one black bumblebee, and she began to speak to that bumblebee, chastising the bumblebee that you have come as a servant of that beautiful black-colored Shyamsundar. The color of the black made her connected with Krishna, and she began to speak the intimate expressions of her heart's separation from Krishna. And when Uddhava heard this, he felt himself to have absolutely no bhakti at all. That people think that I'm advanced. But even in the absence of Krishna, how they are so totally absorbed in Krishna and only Krishna with such love. Upon seeing this, Uddhava performed severe tapasya in a mood of praying, of becoming a blade of grass. Because he was a prince, and Radharani and her friends were simple cowmaids, gopis, it would be very embarrassing for him to take their dust from their feet. So he prayed that he could become a blade of grass, to give up his princely stature, his royal opulence in Mathura, Dwarka, to even give up his intimate friendship with Krishna, because it was a higher realm of consciousness, to somehow or other, even one time, be stepped upon by the beautiful lotus feet of Sri Radharani and her friends, and get that dust upon his head. So this is the supreme, most exalted position of Sri Radharani. Many years went by, and Krishna later met Sri Radhika Rani and the gopis in Kurukshetra at a lake, Samanta, what is it? Panchaka. Huh? Yes. And there, Lord Sri Krishna, upon seeing Srimati Radharani, he actually fell at her feet and begged forgiveness that for so many long years I have left you. The gopis, after Krishna left, they cried for the rest of their lives. Krishna understood this. He was always within their heart in his bhava expansion. And he was praying to Srimati Radharani, please forgive me what I have done to you. Although you have given your heart and your life, instead of reciprocating personally with your love, I have made as a priority all these other duties, killing demons. I have made a great mistake. Please forgive me. And Sri Radharani replied that actually you have done nothing wrong. It is I who am the criminal. It is I who am wrong. It is I who have made the greatest of all mistakes. Why? Because you left, and in your absence, I did not die. I lived. Just the fact that I lived in your absence means I have no real love for you. Just the fact that I lived all these years means I am not worthy of you. If I was a proper consort, I should have died the moment you left. And she said, my Lord, you have made no mistakes, because you do have so many duties in this world. It was your duty to kill all those demons and to protect your devotees in so many ways. So that is not a fault in you. The fault is in me, because I have no other duty than to serve you and to offer my love to you. There is no other duty in my life. So my Lord, please forgive me. This is the nature of spiritual love of Vrindavan. And when Krishna sees the nature and the quality of this love of Sri Radharani, he realizes that although I am the knower of everything, I am the source of all knowledge, I cannot understand her love. It's beyond my comprehension. So therefore, Lord Sri Krishna in order to understand the nature of Sri Radharani's Mahabhav, in order to see what it was about himself that so much attracted her, and in order to taste a drop from the unlimited ocean of the sweetness of happiness that she experienced in that love, Krishna came to the conclusion that I can only understand this if I personally assume the love of Sri Radharani within my own heart. So Lord Sri Krishna explained that to Sri Radharani that it is the time for the Yuga Avatar, this age of Kali Yuga in the earth. And at that time, I come to propagate the Yuga Dharma, the congregational chanting of the holy name. I am generally the Yuga Avatar is a partial expansion of an expansion of an incarnation of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. But on this occasion, the Lord decided that he would personally, in his original form, appear in the world. As a secondary purpose, to come as Yuga Avatar, but the primary purpose was I'm going to come with your intensity of love within my heart, with your bhava, so that I can understand your love. And when Srimati Radharani heard Lord Sri Krishna speak like this, she said, "My Lord, if you appear with my bhava, then every time you think of me, or every time if you think of yourself, or chant your holy name, you will fall to the ground and whirl, roll in the dust in transcendental ecstasy. And I cannot tolerate seeing this. Therefore, with my own beautiful golden complexion, I will cover your body to protect you." So when it is explained, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, that the one Supreme Personality of Godhead expanded into two for the purpose of being simultaneously the Supreme Enjoyer and Enjoyed, in enjoying divine ras. But in order to understand the nature of that ras, they have become one again. Krishna appears with the sentiment and the complexion of Srimati Radharani in the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. And although the Yuga Avatar comes in every Yuga cycle, this particular, very rare and sublime incarnation of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the original form of Krishna, appears only once in every day of Brahma. But not only does Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come to experience the love of Sri Radharani, but he comes to canvass all living beings to distribute the love of Sri Radharani, to give every living being, whatever, with it, regardless of qualifications or disqualifications, the opportunity to come into Srimati Radharani's camp of devotees in the spiritual world. And he does this by distributing the sweet sound of the Maha Mantra. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna, appeared in this world and Srimati Radharani also appeared directly and personally along with Lord Chaitanya as Sri Gadadhar Pandit, because she knew that with her sentiment of love in Krishna, he would become like a madman. There's a story in Chaitanya Bhagavat how one time Krishna, in the mood of separation of Radharani, Mahaprabhu was weeping, he was crying. Where is Krishna? Where is my beloved Lord? Where is Vrindavan Chandra? And Gadadhar, wanting to try to pacify him, he said, "There's no reason for you to cry like this because Krishna is in your heart." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, feeling so much separation, he took his nails and began to rip open his chest, hoping to rip open his heart to have the darshan of Krishna. And at that time, Gadadhar Pandit became very fearful, and he was holding with great effort the hands of Mahaprabhu. And he began to say, "Please be patient. Krishna will bestow his mercy upon you very soon. Please be patient." And upon hearing those sweet, loving words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became pacified. And when Sachi Mata saw this, she understood there's only one person in all the world who can protect my son from his ecstatic symptoms, and that is Gadadhar Pandit. So she requested, "Sri Gadadhar, please, it is my humble request that at all times you be at the side of my child." And in this most beautiful incarnation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not only did he display to the world the super excellent loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna, but through his associates, Swarup Damodar and later the six Goswamis headed by Rupa Goswami, they explained systematically the most wonderful process by which we could all learn to take shelter of the beautiful pastimes of Vrindavan. They taught us that Lord Chaitanya came to distribute love of God, the love of Vrindavan in all directions. But through Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he was so magnanimous and so free in distribution that even the lowest and the most sinful of all sinners can achieve the highest realm of consciousness. Narottam Das Thakur prayed that when we take shelter of the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu, he brings us to the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by attaining the feet of Mahaprabhu, we have attained the Leela of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And the six Goswamis have taught us this wonderful process. So we speak these things, although they are very high subject matters, because we should know what has been given to us. Because unless we have a deep philosophical understanding of the nature of the mercy of Radha and Krishna coming through Lord Chaitanya in this parampara, then we can take it cheaply. We could think it's just another religion. It is not at all another religion. Sometimes in interfaith, various people of various religions come and sit together and try to make peace and stop fighting and arguing. Because there's one God who's the source of everything and everyone. There's one God who's the source of all religions in his various expansions and manifestations. But what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given is not just the religion. He has given entrance into the suprememost principle of spiritual love. It is not the religion of Aishwarya, of worshipping God as the obedient servant. It is not the worshipper of the Creator. That is all included. But the principle of Radha and Krishna, of Vrindavan, is that realm of spiritual consciousness by which there is spontaneous, infinite loving relationships, where we can be the servant of the servant directly of the very pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani herself, in her loving affairs with Krishna. And what is our qualification? We have no qualification. But Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas who are coming with the divine grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their mercy is our only qualification. And all we have to do is accept it and become humble and be grateful. No matter what crises or tragedies or problems you have in this life, why should you complain? You've been given entrance into the highest realm of spiritual consciousness. You have been given the ticket to Goloka Vrindavan. All you have to do is, with a grateful heart, tolerate the pleasures and pains of this world and keep your mind fixed always on that goal. We were explaining yesterday the Chatak bird. This is one of Rupa Goswami's wonderful teachings. How he will never accept any water that has touched the earth. There may be lakes thousands of miles wide of fresh water, and wells and ponds everywhere. But because it has touched this material earth, he'll never accept it. Always keep his mind fixed in the cloud, waiting for one drop to fall. And sometimes while waiting for that drop, thunder, fearful thunder, and sometimes lightning bolts that cause great fear and pain, may even cause death. But the Chatak bird accepts whatever comes from the cloud as mercy and will never look in any other direction, anywhere else, for that drop. Vyavashayatmaka buddhir ekeha kuru nandana bahushaka hinantascha buddhayo vyavashayanam. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers have given us. the ways and the means by which we can have fixed, one-pointed attention. Not to be satisfied with anything of this world, however great the pleasures may be. Not to be satisfied with any amount of mystic powers, not even to show the slightest concern for mukti or liberation. What to speak of the pleasures of the heavenly planets? Not even to show the slightest concern for the opulences and the eternal affairs of Vaikuntha. But the Gaudiya Vaishnavas keep their mind always fixed on the loving service of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And how do we keep our minds fixed? Krishna means the all-attractive personality of Godhead. Rama means the reservoir of all pleasure. Radha Raman, who is supremely enjoyed by, who is given supreme enjoyment by Srimati Radharani. And Hare is the name of Srimati Radharani. It is the calling out to Sri Radharani who steals the heart of Krishna by her infinite love and devotion. So on this holy day of Radhastami, let us have deeply grateful hearts. Let us reconfirm our vows to keep our consciousness always fixed on our goal, Krishna consciousness. And let us celebrate the glorious appearance of Srimati Radharani as she has come to this world, as Lord Chaitanya taught us to, by chanting her holy names. It is explained that in a holy village of Brajbhumi called Raval, King Brishabhanu and his consort Kirtida were living, in a previous birth, they performed great austerities, and by satisfying Lord Brahma, they were given the benediction that the supreme most goddess of fortune would become their daughter. So one day, Maharaj Brishabhanu went to the river Jamuna. In fact, it was on this day. And there he saw a most effulgent thousand-petaled lotus flower. The effulgence emanating from that lotus flower was like hundreds and millions of suns. But yet, it was so soothing and pleasurable to see. And when he approached it, he saw that the source of that effulgence was a beautiful baby girl who had a complexion like molten gold. At that time, Lord Brahma appeared and explained how this is the supreme goddess of fortune, Srimati Radharani. The supremest bestower of the greatest fortune of pure bhakti. And Vrishabhanu Maharaj took the baby girl home, and his wife Kalavati Kirti raised little Sri Radharani. It is sometimes said that although she was so beautiful, she would not open her eyes, and she would not acknowledge any sound. Until one day, Nanda Maharaj came with Yashoda Mai and Gopal Krishna. And when little Krishna approached Sri Radharani, she opened her eyes. She did not want to see anything of this world before seeing Krishna. A devotee, we should also not want to see anything in this world except Krishna. We should see everything in this world as an opportunity to serve Krishna. Just after the birth of Srimati Radharani, Narada Muni came to Raval, and knowing that she was his supreme most worshipable object, he offered his obeisances, he circumambulated, and he offered the most affectionate prayers. And being inspired by this beautiful darshan, he later went to Narada Kund near Govardhan and wrote the Narada Bhakti Sutras. Because Narada Muni and all the great acharyas know that all bhakti is emanating from Srimati Radharani. So it is a wonderful opportunity for all of us to celebrate her most beautiful appearance in this material world. And how do we celebrate? Lord Chaitanya taught, with a grateful and sincere heart, by chanting her holy names. Now the Janmashtami Radhastami Arti will begin. We'll begin by sitting, and then actually we'll begin by standing.